Cut Rate Cops is filmed on location with the cost-conscious men and women of law enforcement.
I'm in pursuit of a stolen vehicle, or at least I would be, but I have to make this tank of gas last till Friday.
10-4, maintain your position, and maybe the suspect will drive back your way and park nearby. Over.
They're the thin blue line when city budgets are in the red on the next Cut Rate Cops.
All available units, we have a 1071 in progress. Repeat, a 1071.
Sorry, dispatch, we can't afford to respond to anything higher than a 213. Over.
They're taking a bite out of crime as the economy takes a bite out of their operating budget on the next Cut Rate Cops.
Yeah, a guy wants to rent my uniform for his Village People tribute band. How much should I charge? Over.
Station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Middle of Winter Global Warming Advocate.
Mr. Middle of the Winter Global Warming Advocate.
For years you've warned us about man-made global warming and gotten national exposure. Now the nation is being exposed to blinding blizzards and record low temperatures.
Carbon footprints in the snow.
The heck with ice caps. I need to melt my sidewalk.
Polar bears are moving in next door. Yeah.
So the next time you see some expert pontificating about a warmer planet while shivering and wiping the frozen snot from his mustache, don't laugh, but lend a snow shovel to Mr. Middle of Winter Global Warming Advocate, a real American hero.
Mr. Middle of the Winter Global Warming Advocate.
I'd give you a lift to somewhere warm, but I only have a gas-guzzling SUV. Sorry.
Ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Kara. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Monday, March 29th. This is the award-winning, I repeat, the award-winning Sam and Kara in the Morning.
Yes,
so
it is,
lest
Sam.
Lest we forget.
So, welcome, everybody, 2010, and we've got a new co-host in the studio today.
Oh, don't
he
get
looks
me
a little there. Bit like Sam, but he looks about, what, 15 years younger?
Oh, no, I think 15 years older, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think I made a big mistake.
No, I actually think it looks pretty good.
Today, I'm grateful that I'm on radio and not on TV, so you guys can't see me. I mean, I was actually embarrassed to leave the house today, and what happened is I dyed my hair. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like so fucking stupid, man. But people have been telling me I should try like go with a like blonde hair, right? I thought, what the hell, you know? I mean, let's try it. And you know, finally, because I've been sort of like, you know, I've been thinking women can change their look all the time and men don't, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I've had the same look like forever.
Yeah.
And I thought, what the hell, you know? What have I got to lose? So. Finally, last night, you know, my wife and I decide, okay, we're going to try blonde. So we go to the store, and for the men, all they have is hair dye that only gets the gray,
uh-huh.
right? But that was not my objective here. So I thought, okay, but that's all they have for men, so we'll try that. Okay,
uh-huh.
So I took like sort of a sandy blonde type of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then we got another, like, black one.
Mm-hmm.
In case it doesn't work,
got
you know,
it.
To sort of
yeah.
bring it back or something.
Yeah, kind of like tone it down.
Yeah, exactly. Bring it back to black, although that would probably look horrendous as well. But so that's what happened. So I end up with blonde highlights and still black hair. So it looked kind of funky, right? So at 11:30 at night, we decide we're going to go to Rite Aid and get like a fully blonde one. Okay, not
oh,
just
okay.
for the gray. So, of course, they don't have it for men, so we took the women's dye, right?
Yeah.
The blonde dye. And then we go home, and I put it on, and what we got is just sort of like piss color hair, you know? I mean,
it doesn't look bad, though. It's
no,
just a difference.
No, but wait a minute. It's not, I'm not done
yet. Oh, okay.
No, I'm not done yet. So it came out sort of golden, but nothing blonde at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And at that point, we decided I probably need to bleach my hair in order to get any blonde there, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Oh, shit. This is still going.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm like, you know, this is bullshit. I'm looking like 20 years older, like those old men and shit, you know, that try to sort of like kind of color their hair. Mm-hmm. So... whoever's calling, call us in a few minutes. I don't want to break my train of thought here. But so now we try two, and I hate them, right? So we decided, okay, let's just put the black back on and see what happens. So this is the result right here. Okay, so this is like two blonde jobs and one black job, okay?
Love it.
And I look like shit. It looks brownish.
It looks like a light brown, but that doesn't actually look bad with your skin tone. It was just a difference. Let me see. Turn around for a second.
Yeah.
No, it actually looks pretty good.
Really?
You're definitely taking
Thank
a picture.
Thank you. Well, I'm, yeah.
You're taking a picture. We're posting this shit.
No, I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, man. Let everybody know. You can't talk.
No,
I
can't.
Mouth.
I think I look ridiculous. But anyway, you know, I remind myself of these men that dye their hair and they look ridiculous. You know?
Look, so, it's like, I like the whole idea. Carpe diem, man. Seize the damn hair day.
Okay.
And just go for it. So you did. I mean,
but,
you went
But you got to understand something. As we're doing this, my wife's hands are getting all, like, black, right?
From She's not thing. Wearing gloves?
She did, okay? But then she sort of took them off and stuff. And, yeah, her whole hand. And then some spilled on my hand and turned dark. But the worst thing is on my face, like around my face here, I had, like, black stains.
I love it. Welcome to the world
this
of women.
Fucking, yeah. This fucking thing is like shoe polish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how thick and how, you know, I mean, my hair still is, like, sort of, like, knotty and stuff, you know?
Yeah, like it's
knots.
A little dry.
Yeah.
A little dry.
Yeah, dry.
What you need is a good conditioner.
Conditioner,
and
right?
And a good conditioner.
Yeah.
And here's the great thing that you don't need to stress out about. You're a man, number one. Number two, your hair, it's like if you don't like it, it'll grow out like super. Your hair is so short, it's going to grow out. It's like it's not that much of a commitment.
Yeah, that's true.
You
now,
know?
You don't think that I look ridiculous?
No.
I mean, I shouldn't like – because I was thinking I'm not going to leave the house.
No, it actually looks
show.
Pretty – it actually looks pretty – it's pretty subtle. I mean, you went through a lot of stages to get subtle. But,
yeah.
I mean, I've had friends. We've done hair dyes on them, and her mom just took bleach and put it all over her roots just like one big pancake, and we didn't rub it around or anything. The next thing we know, she rinses it out, and her hair's brown on the ends, and then it's like one big sunflower, like blonde in the middle. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a casualty of you know, going for it.
Yeah, and you never know what color you're going to end up with, right?
Mm-mm.
You never do. Now, have you had any horror stories when it comes to dyeing
I mean, my hair is naturally blonde, but I do lighten it still to make it pop. I want it to pop.
It does pop.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And so, no, because I'm sticking close to my color.
Uh-huh.
It's only really more enhancing it and lightening it a shade or two. But if I were to go a different color, I would definitely see. Actually, one time I got it professionally done, and this lady like made part of my hair turn green, and my aunt was with me. And if you guys don't know, so I'll tell you. My aunt, growing up, she's very, very protective. She's the one that raised me. And there's a story where we were on the skating rink, and she we taking me out roller skating, and this girl like didn't see me and pretty much ran me over. Mm-hmm. And I just remember the girl came back to apologize, and my aunt was so pissed that she went off on the girl. And she was so mad. She's like, she's a little kid. You can't run it over little kids. What's your problem? Are you on drugs? Like, my aunt went off on her, and I was so young that I got scared of my aunt. I peed all over myself.
Wow.
So I had that memory flashback when I got my hair done, and my aunt was there, and my hair turned a little green.
Yeah.
My aunt looked there, and she's like, why is it green? Why is it? They fixed it, but yeah, that's about the only thing. But I think it was more a fear of her going ape shit on this
lady. Wow, that's amazing, huh?
Yeah, but it's nice and golden. So.
Yeah. No, it looks nice. I mean, it looks natural with your skin tone and everything.
It's close.
It looks very good.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's not like I'm... I do want to actually dye my hair black, but it's too harsh on your hair. So if you decide you want to go back to blonde or... It's just so heavy and it's just so hard on your hair. So people don't recommend it. So I'm going to get a really good wig.
Yeah. Why would you want to get black hair?
It actually looks really good with blue eyes. And if you have fair skin, it's kind of striking. It's just a different kind of pretty. And I've just never felt like I one time had a really long black wig and I wore it for a couple events and I don't feel like a like black or brunette. I feel blonde, whatever that means. I just feel very blonde. I don't feel like mysterious dark haired girl, like really like mysterious. I just don't feel that way.
Uh-huh.
But it's interesting because it is a different kind of pretty. And so I'm going to do some more gigs with this Persian group. And they have a specific girl in a music video that has really blue eyes and dark hair. And I said, well, if you guys want to buy the wig, which will be a really nice
As long as it's just a wig, don't do anything to your hair.
Well, I'm not going to because it's too dramatic. But I mean, I would love to have a really nice wig and just wear it. And it's like, be like dark-haired, fair, whatever, Snow White.
Everybody wants what they don't have, you know? So, but you got to hear the funny part in this whole thing is, I told you, I mean, there's like black stains on my forehead and around my face. So how do you get it off? I mean, we started freaking out.
Vaseline. You should have put Vaseline around
But what my wife remembered that she'd seen at a beauty salon is they use cigarette ashes.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So that's what we used, and it worked. But my whole face is like, you know, scratched now.
Okay, Sam's like a little raw. Bit of the – you're like very much on the more on the controlling kind of like everything's in its place. So you're a little on the OCD side. So I can imagine watching you go through this situation with 5,000 different stages, and you're like, oh, my gosh. And you – it probably was a lot for you to even try to change your hair color.
It really
and
was.
Then you're – the next thing you know, you've got like freaking cigarette ashes on your forehead and your hair is all freaking weird and you're probably like, what the hell?
And my worst nightmare, that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
So at any rate, now I'm going to have to wait a few weeks for it to come off. But I guess I'll get a haircut. Maybe I'll get a short haircut this week.
I think it looks fine. I think you get away with it.
Yeah.
Let it grow out. Let it grow out, cut it as it could. Yeah, it's not bad. I wouldn't worry about it.
As long as you don't think people are going to laugh at
me. I don't think anybody's going to.
It brings back like memories from elementary school, you know, when everybody made fun of you about everything.
What were you made fun of growing up?
I don't remember now. I really don't, you know, but it could have been anything. I mean, kids are just mean, you know.
Kids are mean. They lack empathy. Yeah. They lack empathy, compassion.
Yeah.
They just go with
They're not aware of other people yet, you know. I mean, that's what I think the evolution of man is that when you're a baby, you know, all you know is just you know.
Yeah.
This, you know, me.
Mm-hmm.
And as the kids grow older, they start being aware of people around them.
Yeah.
And that's an ongoing process, you know. And like as you get older and older and older and, you know, where you get to a point where you're so aware of people and stuff, you know, and become a philanthropist or, you know, some of these things where, you know, you really are aware of people. So, and many people get stuck in the middle.
Well, that's why that's why I always say, you know, I believe man is inherently not good.
Right.
Because
it says so in the Bible too.
Yeah, we have to learn good. You know, it's not something that we have the inherent desire for. Intentions are good, but we can't really follow through with it.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, you know, just look at human nature.
Yeah.
Selfish is what rules.
I remember something in the Bible where it says something like a man's heart is bad in its infancy, something like that, you know.
I know maybe I know that I know there's a verse that says the heart is the most deceitful above all else. Mm. So your heart can really lead you astray. That's why you can't only go off of your emotions or what you feel. You can't because and that's true. I mean, there's a lot of things we feel good in the moment, but they lead you down the wrong path.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something I've heard. But that kind of makes sense, too, what you're saying.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. You know, I don't know. We're all in. It seems sometimes like we're all in a movie or something, you know, and things are just happening around us.
Yeah.
And we have no control over it, you know.
Life is a stage and we're all players. I need to let you guys know that I have a real sexy case of like a stomach flu issue.
A sexy case of it. Okay.
Yeah,
what
which
does
is,
that mean?
It means it's not sexy.
I see.
Okay. So if at any point I have to run out of this room.
Oh, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah, it may happen.
Uh-huh.
I'm just giving you the heads up.
Okay.
Everybody listening at home, This is the kind of story you don't want to hear, where the pretty girl has to go run to the bathroom and
really?
It's awful.
That's the thing, is with pretty girls, you don't think they go to the bathroom at all.
Yeah,
right?
You don't think any of that. And personally, I mean, I'd love not to. I'd love to never have any of that. I mean, I don't think people would love to have that, but it keeps you humble.
Yeah.
As you're in the bathroom.
It does.
Yeah, but no, so I'm just letting you guys know, if I have to run and be like, you know, improv, Sam.
Yeah.
For a second.
Well, good thing I didn't bring you chocolate.
No, it's something that I thought was food poisoning, and then I found out my friends that have a kid had like a little bit of a stomach flu,
and
I babysat for them, and I think this is what I got.
Yeah,
you know?
Wonderful. Yeah, you know, you spend enough time around kids, you're gonna pick up just about anything.
Sure, I know. It's so true.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So how was your weekend?
How was my weekend? I was kind of ill. I wasn't feeling that great.
Right.
It's kind of good getting the stomach flu because you don't eat. So you lose weight and you get skinny.
Skinny. That's a way to diet.
Yeah, no, I don't recommend it. But it's so funny because I'm such an eater that when I don't eat for like 2 seconds because I'm sick.
Right.
10 minutes later, if I feel better, I'm like ready to eat.
Really?
And then 10 minutes later, I don't feel good. So I'm just like not eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm going to be throwing up all over you.
Yeah, that's good. Were you throwing up too?
I threw up yesterday in Trader Joe's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not all like all over
How
the place.
How embarrassing.
No,
oh,
it was
you
the
went
bathroom.
To the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom. That
oh,
would suck
okay.
if it was like,
I know.
Could you
know.
Tell me where the two-buck chuck is?
You know how embarrassing that is? I went with my son once when he must have been like 8 or something.
He
you know, we went to the movies, and he told me he's feeling sick and everything. You know, so we go and we sit down, and he tells me, I'm not feeling so well. You know, and I'm thinking, God, he's going to throw up on the people in front of us. So I'm like rushing him outside. We didn't even get as far as the bathroom. I mean, mm-hmm. he just threw up in the lobby there all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so friggin' embarrassed. I didn't know what to do, you know. It's just the
it's
worst
thing. It's your
kid,
thing. Though.
I know. But still, it's embarrassing, you know.
You're like, get it together, kid. You're making me look bad.
Yeah.
Can you patch up all that? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, how dare you? No, well, what could I do? I just, you know, we waited for someone to come and clean it up. I told him I said I would do it, but no, I mean they, you know, I mean they're probably used to it. You know, they clean shit up all the time.
Kids throw up. Kids are gross, you know.
Yeah.
Little bodies all trying to get living and you know grow up and stuff. And this kid though, my friend's baby, I babysat her, and I mean she just had like the nastiest crap. She was like down her legs. It was like that
oh
kind of.
Oh my God.
It's kind of that, like, you take off the diaper and it's just.
Like
it's,
an explosion or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, call it like splody poo.
Yeah.
Like just awful crap. And I'm like, she's not my kid. I love her to death, but she's not my kid. So I'm like taking it off and I'm seeing all this. And I'm like, oh. Like, what'd I sign up for? You know, I've got like 5 diapers in one hand trying to scoop it all up. It's just disgusting. And I love her. She's just a little girl, little baby, and she doesn't feel good because she's obviously, you know, crapping out.
How old is the kid?
She's about 10 months.
Oh, 10 months.
Yeah.
Okay. She's not walking yet.
No. Well, she's almost walking.
Almost, yeah.
And her mom and dad are good friends of mine, and they ended up catching this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So all of you are sitting there.
So I'm kind of thinking, I thought what was food poisoning, I'm kind of thinking it might be this, like,
yeah, bug or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So it makes you feel
sexy.
Who
wants to go on a date with me? I'm so sexy right now. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, might witness an explosion or two in the process.
No, I can lock it down, but I'll just have to, like, run.
Yeah.
I'll have to run, like, hardcore.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Runs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So on a lighter note.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I'm probably going to start doing these Persian gigs.
Oh, you're going to start doing
them? I think
I'm
going to start doing
them.
Is
that like a regular thing?
I think
then?
It's going to be a regular thing.
Wow.
And, do we have that caller back? No?
No.
Because I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, you do? Okay, well, we're going to take a little break. That's fine.
Okay,
so stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Yeah. to Sam and Kara in the Morning.
Kara in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back?
We're back. Yeah. I didn't throw up almost.
You didn't throw up, huh?
I didn't.
Good.
I got ginger ale because I was told it makes your stomach feel better, but right. I don't know. It seems like everything, even water is making me nauseous.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you pick this up? On Saturday or
something? I think it was like Friday or something. I babysat. And
so the whole weekend you had to live with this.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So I thought I just ate something bad because it's weird how you can feel kind of good for 10 minutes or, you know, half an hour. And you're like, oh, I'm fine. I even went on like a really hard run.
Really?
Like, yeah. Uh-huh. Went on a really good hike / run and then went out that night and like ate and started noticing when I was eating that like I wasn't finishing my meal, which is totally not my style, because I was so hungry, I was craving just meat, and so I just got like this huge burger, and my friends wanted sushi. I was like, screw that. I asked the waitress, I said, look, can I know this is really tacky, but do you mind if I go next door and get a burger and bring it over here? I was like, sushi's just not gonna cut it. You know when you want red meat? I don't want your little fish, with your fish and your freaking rice and a little sauce. That's just not the way I want to do it. So I brought the burger over. I was chowing down on it. It was a bacon cheddar cheeseburger with onions.
Sounds good.
And anyway, I started to eat it, and then I got like really full really quick, and I thought, this is weird.
Really?
Not my style.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Well, what am I going to do, you know?
What are you going to do, Sam? Yeah. Do something about it, okay? What's wrong, Sam?
Gosh. I don't know if my methods would work, you know? It's more like a witch doctor sort of method that I would use, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a guest. We're going to call our guest, and his name is Richard Nocera. And he wrote a book called Women Own All the Vaginas. obviously a great title, so we're going to find out what's behind it and what it's all about. So it got my attention, you know, so...
Women Own All the Vaginas.
It's like kind of a duh title.
Well,
you know?
Kind of a duh. They mean that you own everyone else's vagina too, or just your own vagina?
Yeah, exactly. It's
vagina,
like,
vagina, 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 vagina. Isn't that such a crazy word? I just love saying it.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny word too. Richard?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Good morning. We can barely hear you. How are you?
Oh. I'm excellent. How are you?
Oh,
I'm
here
in
we
Massachusetts.
Go. Here we go. I'm fixing this. Good morning to you. In Massachusetts. Where in Massachusetts are you?
Newburyport.
Oh, okay. It doesn't tell me much, but it sounds good. Yeah.
It's right on the ocean, just below New Hampshire.
Really?
Cool.
Well, that's a cool place to be, I would imagine. Yeah. Are you guys over the winter up there already, or is it still snowing?
No, it's raining today, but it's kind of harsh and cold. We're not over it yet. Spring is coming.
Yeah.
We're optimistic.
Yeah, we've already got summer here. We don't get spring. It's winter and then summer. You know, it gets hot.
You guys.
I know. You feel bad for us. I know.
So how are the vaginas in Massachusetts?
Okay, let's introduce you.
Say that,
Richard.
Again.
I said, how are the
How
are the vaginas in Massachusetts doing?
Oh, they're doing pretty well. You know, I'm trying to get the vaginas to talk to the penises. That's what I'm trying to do.
The vagina whisperer?
And how do we do that?
Well, it's the penises that don't want to talk. It's the men that don't want to say how it really is for them. And, you know, we're very moved by our sexuality. I mean, that's what we're about. You know, many of the ways men act, think, and behave is driven by their desire, you know, to get access to a woman's vagina.
Right.
And this is our biology. It doesn't change after we're in a committed relationship.
Right. And that's why, I mean, sometimes we get a bad rap, I think, when they say men are dogs. I even say that myself. But, we seem to be preoccupied with it quite a bit. I would have to admit.
Is it just that men are just obsessed with vaginas, or is it like just being with a woman, or is it really just that part of her biological body?
Well, I think it's two things. I think my book writes about our sexuality not as much as it pertains to affairs of the heart. We want it both ways. There's 29 different men in my book, and one of the men is called monogamous, non-monogamous man. And, you know, they want to be in a committed relationship with a woman they love and create a life and all that means. But they also want to have casual, uncomplicated sex with other women, too.
Right.
That doesn't go away, unfortunately, or for, however you want to look at it. But men can't be honest about that. I mean, culturally and, you know, our religions and our culture and women don't want to hear that, so we hide it.
Right.
Why wouldn't we? You know, we have to.
Well,
so it's the lying.
So you guys are just
lying in America.
You're just so oppressed, huh? It's just a hard life, right?
It is.
We are repressed. We are repressed, and it's not. You wouldn't like if we made fun of you, you know. And it's men have had no movement. You know, we haven't had a men's movement. We haven't come out of the closet. Heterosexual men have not come out of the closet. We don't dare come out of the closet.
Oh man, I'm gonna love this interview. Just pack a lunch. I can't wait. I'm going to let you talk, and then we're going to take you to town. How's that sound?
Cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
I love it, too. And I love the title, by the way. Men, what is it? Women own all the vaginas.
Yeah.
So, why men do what they do. You've got to put that tag on it now. You don't just leave it hanging on there.
Okay.
Why men do what they do.
Yeah, it's just
because women own something we want, need.
Right. So, I mean, I've heard this once where they say women, men use love to get sex, and women use sex to get love. Would you say there's some basis to it?
No, because I think men don't want to marry their lap dancer.
Right.
They don't want to decorate the Christmas tree and bring her home for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay, there's two sides to it. Yes, you know, a man wants to love a woman and he wants to be sexually involved with her. That's where it leads to. But, you know, that sexy girlfriend that he married, you know, becomes a mother of their children. And, you know, that changes a lot of our orientation to that woman.
It?
You know, you want this. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. I hear what you're saying, and I don't think it's any new concept when it comes to the biological drive that's in men, and it's different for women. And it's not to belittle it or minimize it, but to address it, I appreciate what you're doing. However, the question I have is to have to just succumb to your every instinct that you have and maybe not find another outlet for it. I mean, that's my question, because that is really sad for women to hear that, okay, well, I was the sexy girlfriend that was loving and all these great things, and then I, you know, we made a life together, we fell in love, and we had children, I became the mother of his child, and now I get the shaft sexually. Now I'm looked at as kind of too puritanical, too matriarchal or whatever, and now I don't create that desire in him, and I just think that's a cheap answer.
Well, you might think it's cheap, and I understand where you're coming from. I hear you loud and clear. But it is the answer. It's part of the answer. And I think women feel the same way, too. You know, I'm a hairdresser, and I've been a hairdresser for 49 years.
Uh-huh.
I live in a woman's world, Cara.
Uh-huh.
And often when I talk to a woman and we really talk intimately and she feels safe with me, she will say it's the same for a woman, too, Richard.
Yeah.
You know, we may have different inhibitions because, you know, we're the keepers of the nest and we are the providers of life, and we need to protect that life and we need to provide for that life you know, until it's emancipated. And we want a man, you know, to be there for us. And men want to do that. We want to do that. Look, I didn't choose my sexuality. I didn't choose the character and the strength of my sexuality any more than I chose my elbow. So, look, you know, take Sandra Bullock. I mean, you know, she's a lovely woman, and her persona is so demure and wonderful, and we love her, and she's a sweetheart of the world. But, look, she took a risk on this gentleman. She married a bad boy.
Right.
What's that about with her? Come on. You know, yet she is totally innocent of anything. There's no responsibility for this whatsoever has been put on her, and he's a sleazebag. He is a dirtbag. Why? Because he was living his truth.
Right.
He was living his truth. But we're not allowed to do that, Kara. You know, and when you have to live a lie, every time you engage in the truth, okay, you have to lie. And men have to live a lie. We have to live like we are monogamous, and it's no problem for us.
Right.
So every time we engage in the truth, even watching porn or going for a lap dance, we have to lie.
I think the way you're putting this is so eloquent, and I love that your heart is invested in this. I mean, you seem like a very sincere and authentic man. I just want to bring up different elements that are very countercultural to what you're saying, which is I understand that the idea of suppression, and suppression can equal rebellion. If somebody doesn't deal with the needs that they have, they're going to manifest themselves eventually in maybe some other worse ways. So I look at it like we have legitimate needs, but we seek them in illegitimate ways. And I get that you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the lying aspect is what is violating to the partners and violating to the man, and it's that's the betrayal part. But yet I really,
exactly.
Okay, and I can respect that. However, I really just can I refuse to accept and really believe that this whole attitude of if I feel it, I can have it, I want it, I should have it. There's no idea of sacrifice. It's the idea that to gain something, usually you sacrifice something else, and that's for the greater good of whatever it is that you're moving towards. And the idea that this is great, we want it, but it's really not worth me having to zip it up and having to say no and maybe channel that energy elsewhere. I mean, it doesn't work for a reason. It hasn't worked from the beginning of time for a reason, excuse me, of why, you know, multiple partners and living in that kind of lifestyle, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in a family nucleus. It doesn't work with trust with partners. It doesn't really work. It's just about gratifying the lust of the flesh.
Well, okay, I do have remedies in my book, and I there isn't anything that you said that I don't agree with. And again, we're having an intelligent conversation that's open and honest. We both feel safe to say what we say because we're not involved with each other. You know, it becomes very problematic if we were in love and we were trying to hash this out. But the main problem is that men can't be honest to begin with. Right. And when you start with the dishonesty, When men cannot be accepted for who they really are on any level whatsoever, and they have to hide every aspect of themselves that even looks at another woman or wants another woman, when we can't say how we actually experience our sexuality, then you do have repression, and that is the right word. It is absolutely the right word. All my book is asking is that for men to stand up and say how it really is for them. Let's make our arrangements, our marriages, our relationships, our commitments based on honesty, so that when a Tiger Woods shows up or a Jesse James shows up, he doesn't look like a complete anomaly here. Right. He doesn't look like he is from outer space someplace, that this just slapped you up the side of the face, came out of nowhere. It doesn't come out of nowhere.
Well, let me ask though, this Tiger, okay. The Tiger Woods thing has been identified as a sex addiction, which I don't know if that's exactly what you're talking about. Hopefully not. Not every man has a sex addiction.
Man has a sex addiction. Of course they have a sex addiction. You masturbate, you're addicted.
There's an addictive quality to sex, but I think that that's different than a sex addiction. I think that those clinically are very different. Sex is programmed to make you want it more and more and more. But a sex addiction comes with a whole lot of different baggage, and a lot of times it's not even about the sex. Okay, so when you
all right, I can't comment on that, I guess. But again, I feel it is addicted as food and water and air. I mean, once you're exposed to it, once you become a sexual being, it is a craving, it is a desire.
I'm not
and it is pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, of course you can sublimate it at different times. Look, a man can be monogamous for 2 years, but if he steps out on year three, he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
He's a cheater. All the time that he spent being monogamous, all the time that he did put his sex drive into something else, doesn't count for anything.
Right.
It's wiped out. It's wiped out. It is so taken for granted. You are an articulate woman, and I'm hearing you, but still, there's that tone in your voice, like, grow up, buddy. You know, and it's not like that.
Well, I think
women don't understand what it's like for a man. Well, it's just like a man does not understand what it's like to be a woman.
Okay, well, let's go with that for a second.
We're trying to find that out. But if I can't be honest with you, if you're going to deride things that I say and demonize or denigrate or vilify what my normal feelings are, what do you think I'm going to do with that?
Well, let me explain.
I'm going to go
backtrack.
Underground with that.
Listen, let's backtrack for 1 second. Here's what I want to say. First of all, we're talking about a biological drive that lies in man that's involuntary, right? There's an involuntary response to want to spread your seed. I'm not looking at that going, hey, grow up. That's not what I'm talking about. The part that I'm saying, hey, grow up, it's learning how to redirect it and how to, you know, in some ways deny yourself healthfully so that you can be more fruitful in your marriage and in the commitments that you've made. And it's not about, again, saying it doesn't exist and feeling bad that it exists. It's about learning how to healthfully deal with it. And honestly, I think that the root of anybody, whether you're a man or a woman or even sex, I mean, we're talking about sex, it doesn't have to be sex. The root of it is, if you have a feeling or an itch, then you deserve to have it scratched because it's there. And I think that in that, that is really the root of that is selfishness. It's not to say that you're bad because you have the desire, and it's not to say that you should be, you know, villainized because you're honest about it. But thinking that you should be able to act on every desire you have, I think is selfish. And that's
well. How many years do you want us not to act on it? How many times do we get the feeling and you want us not to act on it?
Well, I think that's a question.
We're going to be married for 10 or 15, 20 years, 25 years.
If you can't commit,
if
you cannot commit to the 10 or 15 years with all your heart, it doesn't mean I don't believe in forgiveness. I believe in grace. I think if people mess up and they're generally repentant and you see the fruit of repentance in their life over time and there's healing, people can work past that stuff. It's not about you're no longer a good person on any level, but that act alone. I mean, if this is a part of a man's life that he's not willing to at least address, be honest, like you're saying, and healthfully work on it, and then be committed to that 10 or 15 year relationship or whatever, you know, to go with your hypothetical scenario, then it sounds like marriage may not be the right fit for him. If that's something he's
right.
saying.
Absolutely. But we are socialized to be married. We are socially engineered to be married. Look, as soon as you're born with a penis, come on, you are trained. You get the best education you can. You get the best paying job you can, and you get out there and you work and consume and you work and consume.
Right.
Are men trained to do that for themselves? No. Yeah. We're trained to do it because we are trained to be providers for 2, 3, 4 or more people plus ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when we succumb to our sexy girlfriend who wants to have a child and wants to set up a house and the whole marriage industry takes over, you know, and you have to buy the big diamond and you have to, you know, provide this and that and this and that, okay, we succumb to that. Right. That's what we're programmed
to do. And I hear what you're saying.
We also have a hormone coursing through our body that works like an involuntary muscle. Look, you take testosterone out of the picture. You dry up all the testosterone tomorrow. Take it away, and everything would change in this country. Everything.
It would. Let me ask
everything.
You a question. Let me ask you a personal question.
Are we honored for our testosterone? Are we honored for that? No.
Look, I want to get to the crux.
We're not honored for it. We're made fun of.
Listen, I personally really respect what you're saying, although I don't agree with all of it. But what I really want to point out, so you maybe understand where I'm coming from, doesn't mean you agree with me, but just to make sure I'm being clear, is I want to say, let me ask you, are you perfect?
No, come
say
on.
Say it again.
I'm going to make a point. Are right. you are you perfect?
Am I perfect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
getting there.
Of course, I'm not perfect.
Okay, nobody is, right?
Sense,
nobody's perfect, right?
Right?
No one is.
Okay, go
so,
on. So make the point.
My point is this: is every desire that we have that may be involuntary, meaning what enters our brain. what we meditate on, and instincts that we have, are they always perfect? Are they always from the right motive? Are they always good?
You see, but you're talking about morally here. Let me bring something up for a second.
Okay,
you see,
go for
the
it.
The thing is that is exactly the point he's trying to make, and that is that women don't get this, you know? They just don't get it. But I can tell you, and I've been in relationships, okay, and for a man to be in a long-term relationship is to let a part of him die. Okay, and you know, that part that does want to be with different women, with all that stuff, that biological thing, and then the cultural part of it tells us, no, you can't act on this. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't mean that a man can't stay faithful, but there's constantly a struggle there.
I agree.
I think there is a way to stay faithful, and I talk about it in my book. We have to let up on us a little bit. Tara, let up on us a little. Give us a little range here. Give us some benign ways to act on our sexuality.
Which would be what?
Which would be watching porn and being able to masturbate, you know, when we want to. Give us ways to enjoy the fantasy without it hurting. And for us to still be loved and cared about, and again, for it not to be trivialized and marginalized the way it is, that no matter what we do, we're bad. It's always bad, and it's always wrong. That's right. Not true.
Yeah.
Nature did not intend it. This is God-given. We're talking about something that is God-given. What kind of God would create something the way that it's been created, the way it is in a man, and then categorically forbid it and condemn it?
Listen,
this is not my point. It's not a real thing. We need a little slack on this.
I hear you, and I hear. It sounds like you feel very frustrated by this, and very. It sounds like you feel like this has been very unjustly dealt with, and so you know, look past my passion to see my heart here, which is I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about everything pretty much, but my heart goes out to you because you're breaking this down. You're being articulate, and it doesn't sound like you're trying to cause anybody ill will. You're just saying, look, this is a biological desire that I have, and regardless of whether it's right or wrong or good or bad, it's there, and we need to talk about it, discuss it, and find ways to, you know, remedy it. Now I'm hearing you. Now I want to bring up. I want to kind of finish up this point real quick. When I asked if we're perfect, we can all agree no one's perfect. I wanted to take it to desire and instinct. There's a lot of things that we want to do in this life that in the moment, if we were to act on those things, would be unfruitful, bad reactions. I'm equating that to our sexuality. We are all imperfect, and we do not live in a perfect state or in a perfect place. Our sexuality, which would go into even our sex drives, believe it or not, are not whole. We're still broken in our sexuality, which means we're going to have desires and impulses and constant naggings of things that, because it's there, it's the animal side of us, it's the physical, biological side of us, and we have a choice to indulge in that, or we have a choice to deny it and try to redirect that in other positive, healthy ways. And I'm not here to place blame or judgment because people have a desire. I mean, you're human. And going back to God, God knows you're
human.
But
you are saying this. You're saying that people should deny it, you know?
I'm saying you need to make a decision. You need to make a decision.
Let me answer. Can I say just one more thing?
Sure.
It's tantamount. What you are saying about, you're talking about men, you know, okay. So it's tantamount to asking a woman to resist her desire to have a child. It's the same thing. And it could be very not fruitful, to use your terms, to not have a child.
One, right.
It could be a wrong thing to have a child. But can a woman fight that year after year during her, and the clock is ticking? That's what you're asking men to do.
Let's get back to this.
Put it into something else. Constantly for this other purpose. You can't do that. It's not possible, Kara.
You're asking for the impossible.
That's why,
honestly,
it's causing all the trouble.
I don't believe
it's
that
not it's, possible.
It's not that it's not possible. It's that people don't see what the options are, and they don't really know how to.
It's not an option. It's never
it's
felt
not
like
an
option. To me.
It's,
most men, it doesn't feel
it's,
optional.
It's not an
it's
option.
It's not an optional
keep,
feeling.
It's not an option to say no to those desires. That's not an option.
Yes, it's not an option. When it's an option, it's and you say no to it, it wasn't that strong.
Okay, well then let me ask you.
When it's strong, it's overwhelming.
Going back to the baby, situation, which is a really great point. Here's what I want to go back to. You know, there could be a lot of different case scenarios with this, so I'm just going to generalize here, just to stay close to the point. A woman that wants to bring, and let's say she's in a healthy marriage in the sense of like, you know, totally in love and all that stuff, and it, let's say that. Let's say she's not trying to use a baby to save the marriage, because that stuff I don't agree with, or whatever. But let's just say she has a natural biological desire to procreate with her mate who she is married to, and you're saying it would, it's what about asking her to stop that? And I want to say, look at what we're talking about here. She wants to bring forth life with her man that's going to populate, and this life is going to affect other people, and this is a breathing human being. This is, there's something in it that's not as self-centered, although yeah, there's going to be some gratification in it, and there's going to be, you know, a level of selfishness. It really is bringing forth life, whereas going outside the marriage, whether that via pornography or through another partner or bringing other people in the bedroom or whatever, what it's doing is that really bringing forth life? That's really just satisfying a desire. It's really just basically...
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
That's what the woman's doing too, Kara. Yeah. Come on. Let's be honest. I mean, really, rawly honest here. I have been with plenty of women who want to have children. Again, I live in a woman's world. A woman is being supremely selfish. She's not doing it for the child. Look, the unselfishness is going to come after the kid is born and you have to get up in the morning and you have to take care of that child.
And who does that? Who does
and
that?
It never goes away.
Who
but they
does
don't
that?
Do it for
Listen,
the child. It's
who
doing
does
it to
that,
answer
man?
A call in their own bodies, a call from their bodies. It's hormonal.
Right.
No, there's all. It's both. There's a biological need, but there's also a very loving, very desire to nurture, a desire to bring forth life. It's part. It's both.
That's all part of it. That's
yeah,
all
it's part of it. And I will say this. I mean, look at these women. I'm going to tell
it's
you.
Not,
listen,
it's
I'm
not
gonna...
based on that. It's not based on that. This is a hormonal calling. It's a bodily function, just like having to go to the bathroom. And it's not. It can't be resisted. Sure, you can hold on to it. You can. But it's inevitable. It's
Listen,
ultimate.
The women.
And it's not to love it or anything. It's just to do it.
The
you
women.
Need to do it. That's how nature does it. That's how nature takes right. care of us, and perpetuates us. It's a function.
Richard, listen, and I really appreciate what you're saying. What I want to say, though, is sacrificing to gain something better is not a new concept, and both sexes do it all the time. You say it's a women's world. I really beg to differ. It's very much a man's world. A good friend of mine is married and just had a baby, and they have it to where, you know, he's working on several businesses, and he works really hard. But the thing is, she does not get one damn break. Let me tell you, the kids are crying at night. She's up. Guess what? She wants to go somewhere. She has to bring her kid there. She has to find somebody to help her out. And I mean, it's like it wears on her psychologically. She's not in the fun part of it right now. She's in the scooping up the shit and making sure my kid's not sick. Okay, I like a feeding tube every 2 seconds. And it's hard. It's draining. And she's just supposed to do it. She's just supposed to be there and do it. And guess what? She's sacrificing for something that is beautiful and something that's bringing forth life. Right. And that and later you're going to really see the fruit of it. Now, I commend you for your honesty, and I really do commend you for looking at it and saying, look, this is a biological need, and I don't want to be penalized for it. And yeah. I get that. I totally, believe it or not, I do get it. I'm just saying I do believe that it is possible to healthfully like transition the mind, transition the sexuality to a place that you can desire your wife in those ways. It's not easy. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not, you're not always going to be successful. But I do believe there's ways to really kind of reheal that part of us. And I have hope for that. And for men that feel like they are either not committed to working on that or they feel like it's impossible, I mean, my heart goes out to them. But at the same time, maybe marriage isn't the best design for them.
Right. Well, you know, I think the bottom line is, and Kira, I think you are respecting what he's saying, but I don't think you're getting it at all. And
totally
I think that is I think that is the problem, is that you're not willing to sit here and acknowledge, okay, these men actually You know, they're hurting inside because they have to deny what they're feeling. They have to deny
fucking
their instinct.
Fucking boo-hoo, yeah. Sam. Okay. Give me a break. People
well,
have
but,
to
but
deny.
That's what I'm saying. Man.
Cara,
but
there
men
you go,
don't...
Cara. There you go.
I'm just like,
really.
Deny. I'm not saying it's easy.
I hear you loud and clear.
I'm not saying it's easy.
But you know what? That's your issue, and we take it on. See what you're doing right now? Believe me,
right.
We're easily shamed by that. We're easy. Believe me, most men will succumb to what you're just saying now,
yeah,
and we'll feel like the rats you want us to feel like, but it's not a real thing. You're using your power there.
I'm not
you
using
really
anything
are.
Other
and
than
women,
saying.
Women are the holders of men's self-esteem. Right. A beautiful man that lives in California, Warren Farrell, wrote that. Women are the holders of from the beginning.
They're
you know,
the
we
gatekeepers.
Come through your vagina.
Right.
We were part of your body, and we want a mother's love. We want a woman. We need so much from a woman. It's incredible. We need your approval. Now we need your love. We need your bodies. And a woman can make a man feel horrible and rotten about something that's just just something that bothers
Richard,
her.
Right.
And I don't see this.
I don't look.
You know,
first of all. I don't think this is horror. I don't think
you... But that's you. That's about you, Kara.
No,
that
listen. This is about you. This is about your need. This is about you and your
no,
need and what you have
okay.
to sacrifice.
No, it's not.
All right, guys.
It's
we're going
it's
back
It's about
and forth,
how it
yeah.
makes you feel.
Yeah.
It's about how
you
I make
to
you
get
feel.
A
and those are your emotions.
Listen, Richard.
We have to divide the emotions up, Kara.
Listen.
We have to begin to separate them out. Who belongs to who
I'll be
here.
Honest with you, Richard.
How I make you feel. That's your feeling. That's not me.
Richard, listen.
That's not my behavior.
Okay.
You know, that's your emotion about
Yet,
it. What does it mean to you when a man you love wants to be sexual with another woman? Why does it hurt you? Why does it hurt? We don't answer that question in America.
Do you know what
you
happens
hurt me,
neurologically?
You're supposed to love me. You're a terrible person. That isn't it. That isn't it. Why does it hurt so much when someone
is
sexual with someone
first
else?
First of all, Richard, sex is a... I'm about to answer that. Sex... Neurologically, it's been defined as a whole body experience. Sex with a partner actually it changes the neurological pattern in the brain. What happens is there are hormones that happen where there's a bonding experience, and we'll use the word addictive. What happens is that your body creates chemicals that basically make you want more of that person. They say through a 20-second hug, you have more trust in a person when you physically touch them. There's so much neurologically going on with sex that creates bond and creates trust and creates intimacy. And the man, I know he experiences it too, and if he still desires to go with another woman, there is a breaking of those bonds, and it's not just because of cultural. There's something biologically in that happens too. That's what I'm saying. It's why it doesn't work. People feel betrayed. They feel broken, and it's not just about women here. And here's what I want to say. Again,
all the women that Tiger Woods did, you think they are feeling like that?
Actually, they have them on the record.
I don't think
they have them on the
record.
They have them on the record. She said
I do not. I'll bet you they don't.
Right.
And I, Kara, remember, I live in a woman's world, honey.
Really,
I've been having a lot of these conversations with women, and that's not it. They can feel that about a certain person, absolutely. And there's nothing stronger than that.
Right.
And if you've experienced it, you know, and it's the most beautiful feeling that can be. This is something separate from that, you know, and it doesn't occur all the time. It's not just a physiological kind of thing like that. For men, it's just pure primal lust many times.
Right.
And we're not looking for that. We don't want that. I don't think Jesse James wanted that. Tiger Woods didn't want to replace Alan. Bill Clinton didn't want to replace Hillary with Monica.
Right.
No way.
Right.
No
they
way.
Just wanted something else. But you know what, Richard? We're running out of time and everything. Look, I get you. I think all women get you, and I think you are speaking for men. And that is, I think the point that Kara finds it so hard to accept or to take the way it's presented is because of exactly what you're saying. It's like men are not supposed to say this. Women are okay with it. But if we sat here and criticized women for the way they behave, it's not even acceptable.
This is basically apples and oranges, wanting to give birth versus wanting to satisfy every desire. I'm not buying it. But you know what? I do appreciate you, and I appreciate your honesty, and I appreciate the fact that you're very articulate, and I know that your heart
And you stimulated a lot of conversation.
Yeah,
and
I could tell that your heart's not to do ill will. You're basically trying to figure out how to make this acceptable.
Yeah, why would he? I mean, why would he have ill will?
If you read books, I hope you'll read my book, and certainly the heart of my book, which is about healing around this. There is a reason why this is getting messed up, and we're not paying attention to it. And I'm just trying to come up with ideas of ways of taking care of this, and we haven't even touched on it. And you can't. It would take, you'd have to read 5 or 6 pages. But there are reasons for this, and we are yet to evolve our relationships in this country. We're a young culture, and we're in trouble with this. Our relationships, our marriages are in trouble. And we've got to look at different ways than just repressing men.
I agree with that.
If a woman can give a man a little bit of leeway here, it would go a long, long way to being helpful to this. At least accept him on some level and accept his truth.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and all I'm saying to that, like I said, is I appreciate everything you're saying, believe it or not. It's just I see that there can be, the mind and the heart can be redirected to help control those desires. And ultimately, I will say, I really only feel that strength, because you said it's an incontrollable, it gets to a place that's so tantamount. I believe the only way that men can actually harness that and heal it to where it is within the marriage still is through God and God's strength and God's healing.
Okay. I think on that note, the book is Women Own All the Vaginas, Why Men Do What They Do, and it's by Richard Nocera. Richard, thank you so much.
Richard, thank you.
Stimulated a lot of conversation.
My pleasure. Great.
I had a blast, Richard.
Keep the conversation going.
Absolutely. All the best to you, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, I wanted to ask you, do you have a website where we can go to and find out more?
Yes, it's Women Own All the Vaginas, just like that, all one word, .com. And I'm on, and of course, the book is on Amazon.
Right.
.com, Women Own All the Vaginas. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. Okay. And it's a lot more about, what I was, not more about what we were just talking about. There are remedies in the book for this. I'm not looking for men to go crazy with their sexuality. I am asking them to be honest and for us to go from there and renegotiate.
Right, yeah, for there to be some awareness, because I have to agree, I'm a man, and I think we keep a lot of what we feel secret and private,
yes,
and we don't really share it, and I think it builds up and festers up in there. But, Richard, thanks again. All the best
to you,
with the book.
Thank you,
and
Sam.
Congratulations.
All the best to you both.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got to take a short break here, because I totally forgot I had to go and handle another show here, but apparently it started and I think everything's okay, so we're good with that. But let's take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil, he knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain, so much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted up the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. stay. Much too late to break away. Oh, they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, and they loved themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to blame. No, there's never anyone to blame. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, they loved themselves away in the magic they had.
And get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
You know, Kara is back.
We're back.
You're back from a trip?
Just a little one. Nothing happened, though.
Nothing happened.
We're good.
Yeah?
I'm still sexy. I'll let you know.
Yeah. It's kind of tough, huh? I mean, do you feel comfortable going in public places?
What?
Public restrooms?
And doing like a big nasty.
No, yeah, I mean, no, at all. I mean,
of course not.
I can't do
it. First of all,
I
don't like doing it. I have the worst. I mean, I normally don't. I'll just wait till I'm home if I need to go.
Right.
But I have the worst experience. Mm-hmm. I was invited to this acting class, and I was invited to actually take the acting class for free.
Uh-huh.
And I was. The guy that runs it is very strict and very, you know, he's like the acting teacher. Rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I was really, really, really late to class because I was coming from Hollywood to the Valley, and it was awful. And so I rolled in 20 minutes late, sat in the class,
mm-hmm.
and there was a scene going on. And he said, after this scene, we're going to take a break. And I said, okay, cool. The scene finished, and I really had to go to the bathroom, freaking number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I kind of need to go take care of this. And I was like, whatever. And I was like, you know what? Because I'm really paranoid about doing it, that I thought, oh, I need to not be paranoid. I need to just, if I need to go, I need to just go and just be healthy. You know, like don't like
exactly,
hold it
yeah.
in. I was like, that's stupid. So I ran over to the bathroom, and the way that the bathroom was close to where the audience was and near the stage. It was a small theater. And I went to the bathroom and kind of sang when I was in the bathroom because I do that. So I'm humming and singing. And, you know, I did what I needed to do. And then I did what you call a courtesy flush.
Uh-huh.
So I did that.
Uh-huh.
And then there was air freshener. And so I sprayed the air freshener once, and it was like really loud.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, shit, I don't want anybody to hear this. So I started coughing and spraying the air freshener. I was like,
and you think people could hear everything the whole time?
Listen. I open up the door thinking we're on a break, and it's quiet. And I just stand there, and there's a hall between me, so I'm just standing there still. And this girl goes, well, I think it's going to be a long time because she keeps coughing when she sprays the air freshener. And I stood there like, oh my gosh, she's talking about me. Oh my gosh. This come to find out they weren't even on a break. I jumped the gun. So they were all waiting for me quietly.
Really?
While I'm totally going to the bathroom.
And they can hear everything.
While I'm going to the bathroom. And then they heard me spray the air freshener and cough. So I stood there and I was like, oh God, please like make me invisible right now.
Huh?
So then the acting teacher walked around the corner and was like, oh, we're kind of in the middle of a show right now. We're kind of in the middle of a class. I don't know if you care. And I was like, oh, okay. So I walk out into the audience. And everybody turned around and looked at me, and I was just I was so embarrassed. And I sat down, and I had, like, notes that I was writing, and I just picked up my notes like I was writing, and I was like, I want to die right now. I don't want to be here. And then I left in the middle once it was the intermission. I totally left.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man.
I took
my
keys. I never went back. Yeah. I couldn't do it. I was like the girl that took a big crap on the first.
Yeah, like on a fucking stage or something. You might as well.
So disgusting. I'm still a female for those of you guys that are wondering at home. Anyway. Yeah, women have it rough. I mean, it's just not a pretty side of humanity, but...
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. I'm very averse to it.
But you're funny because you're, like, really weird about it, like, with your wife and not... I mean, never, like, totally farting or anything, and you've been married for 5 years. I think that's kind of weird. Not that you want to sit around and, like, play with it and, you know...
But it's not weird. I mean, I don't want to see it. I don't like to see it my own. Why would I want to see someone else's?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, the fact that you go to such great lengths to, like, you know... Like you said, you're embarrassed in your own house taking a crunch.
No, not in my own house, no.
Oh, I thought you said that, and then like you...
I did?
Yeah, you said you, like, you courtesy flush at your own house.
The courtesy flush is for me, not for everybody, for anyone else.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I just don't want to sit with it in the fucking toilet, you know? Once it comes out, damn, it goes.
I live with three girls. Three of us are girls, and like we all have coffee, and the coffee just...
Yeah.
Starts knocking, and it's like one after another. We're like, I gotta get in there, use the bathroom, hurry up! I'm like, I'm in here, lay it, we'll be on a second.
Isn't it funny how the coffee stimulates everything?
Yeah,
in the morning?
It's great. It's great because it just gets it going.
Makes you regular.
Like, but we have like matches in there and like three different air fresheners.
Oh my God, air fresheners only make it worse.
They
kind of
make it like perfumed crap. It's nasty.
Yeah, it's
so
very
gross.
Nasty.
But we're always making jokes. It's funny because like one's in there, then the next person's in there, and the other person's like knocking on the door, like, you go to the bathroom. Like, what are you talking about? I just got in here. Hurry up. Can't hold it.
God, that's got to be tough.
Yeah. But we're like sisters, so it's kind of like really funny and gross at the same time.
Like a sorority type of a place?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, I mean, the three of you seem like so nice. I'm sure you guys get along.
Oh, my gosh. We have a blast.
Yeah.
We cook together. We freaking go on hikes together. I mean, if I have a little crazy gig where I can bring a friend, I'm bringing one of them.
Right.
You know, vice versa. So.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's really fun. It's I can't ask for better girls to live together and share a toilet with.
That's true. That's true.
Awesome.
Now who's Deborah Kimbrough? Is that your sister
that's
or
my,
your aunt?
That's my aunt.
That's your aunt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her writing some things on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how she was related to you.
She's my aunt. She's the one that pretty much raised me.
Okay.
We're really close. She's a motivational speaker and she's crazy and
so
in a good
she's
way.
On your father's side of the family.
Yeah, she's my dad's
got the
sister.
Same last name.
Yeah.
Right.
But sometimes for a while there, people thought we were sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. How much? Well, she probably doesn't want us to know her age, but is she much older than you?
She is. I mean, could be my mom.
Could be your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I tell you what, folks, we're going to wrap up for today because Kara's not feeling well, and I really don't want to see you suffer here. So, well, join us all tomorrow. We'll just replay this show for the next 45 minutes or so. So, Kara, well, I hope you feel better.
I will feel better.
I hope you make it home.
And I love men. Don't think I'm a man hater because I went off on the guy. I love men.
Yeah, you do love men.
I do, okay.
I have to admit. And so, everybody, forgive us for ending early, but we're all behind our Kara here, and we'll be back here tomorrow. Take care.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. We'll be right back.